Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
Hello, and welcome to the very first podcast of my episode. Oh my god, I mean episode of my podcast. We are off to a great start. Hello, welcome to the very first episode of my brand new podcast, I Almost Died. I'm so glad you're here. This podcast is going to showcase the amazing, terrific luck that I have that's gotten me into some circumstances throughout my life where I have almost died, if you couldn't tell by the title. This podcast is going to be really fun and really exciting, and I know that podcasts, like, typically you don't think, whoa, craziness, excitedness from podcasts. I think of, like, a soccer mom sitting in her minivan listening to a podcast while her four children are, like, getting out of daycare. That's what I think of when I think of podcasts, but this is no such thing. We are going to have a freaking blast here. I'm going to tell stories of how I almost died and also have some of my friends be guests on here, some familiar faces, if you do not live under a rock and use TikTok and YouTube. We're going to have some awesome guests here and also share their stories of how they almost died. I am super excited because today, for the very first episode, I'm going to be telling you the story of how I got in a motorcycle accident and nearly freaking died in Bali, Indonesia. This is a story that I've kind of like briefly told on YouTube and like on live streams and stuff, but I've never really gotten into it because it was like still kind of recent and it still stressed me out because it was a stressful, traumatic moment. But today, I break my silence and I'm telling you the story. So, let's begin. Let's take it back to November 2019. Me and my friends, my three friends, we wanted to go on a fun little trip. This was before COVID, where going on a trip doesn't kill you and your entire family. And we decided on going to Bali. Like, we'd been to Mexico and places like that before. For the people watching this on the YouTube version of this podcast, you just saw the giant piece of spit fly out of my mouth. I am so sorry. Ew, that was so disgusting. Anyways, we decided on Bali because, like, we'd been to Mexico. Everyone loves Mexico. Mexico's a beautiful place, but we've been there multiple times. We know Mexico like the back of our foot. We wanted some spice. We wanted to spice it up. And we decided to go to Bali, Indonesia. It's freaking far. I didn't realize how far away Bali, Indonesia is. Like, I'm good with geography, but this little island is 30 hours away from North America. It's crazy. So, it was a long flight. If you couldn't tell, I flew from Edmonton, Canada to Vancouver, Canada to Taipei, Taiwan, and then from Taipei, Taiwan to Bali, Indonesia. And I flew by myself because all my friends are American and I'm the only Canadian. So it was a long, lonely flight where I didn't even have Netflix. I just was in a coma for 30 hours and it was not fun. But anyways, we got there. We got to the airport. We were so excited for our trip. Whenever I go on trips, I don't really plan anything. I just kind of like hope there's fun things to do when I get there. And then I just do them. I seek them out. And because I'm a thrill seeker and I love adventure. I'm just kidding. I go on TripAdvisor and I'm like, what's fun to do? Do y'all got trampoline parks? And then if they don't have trampoline parks, I just go to the beach usually. But anyways, we got there. And let me tell you, Bali is hot and it is also humid. I can handle one of those things, but if I get both of those at the same time, I go into heat stroke. And baby, right off the bat, I was in heat stroke. It was not good. It was not good. I was not doing well. But we get out of the airport, we get our bags, which I was really surprised that they had our bags because, like, the airline that I flew on literally felt like it was just a flying boat. It did not. I thought they were going to lose all my stuff and also eject me from the airplane. Anyways, we managed to get there with all our bags, off to a great start. The first red flag, the first thing leading up to my potential death was the roads. I should have really analyzed what I was getting myself into because these roads in Bali are very narrow. One, there's no lanes. Two, a lot of it is just dirt. And three, there is no lanes. It is a road with no lanes. And four, yep, there's a fourth point. The fourth point being everyone rides these little motorcycles. And I'm like, okay, like they seem pretty easy to maneuver. And you would see everyone riding these motorcycles in Bali. Like we're talking like old, like 80-year-old Australian grandmothers, like these white foreigners zooming around on these things like they're in Mario Kart, like they're at freaking like Coconut Mall and it's just nothing to them. And I'm like, okay, it can't be that hard. There's no way riding these motorcycles could even be in the slightest bit hard. So we get to our villa, which by the way was beautiful. Like where we stayed, honestly, was probably one of the nicest places I've ever stayed. Like I literally felt like I did not belong there. I felt like a little peasant and I accidentally snuck into like the castle. I was like, what is going on? It had like this beautiful pool. It was like two stories. I miss it so much. But nevertheless, when we got there, we're like, what do we do? Like, you can't get around. There's no sidewalks on the roads pretty much anywhere. So you're like risking your life walking on the edge of the road, praying like a bus doesn't run you over. It's really scary. But we're like, okay, like, should we just bite the bullet and get a motorcycle? Like, none of us know how to ride it. Two of us don't even have our driver's license. But like, should we get a motorcycle? Should we rent a motorcycle? So what did we do? Like the stupid foreigners from North America that we were. We rented motorcycles. We walked our butts down to this motorcycle rental place that was near us. I'm not going to name drop them, even though I think I might have in my YouTube vlog where I vlogged the whole situation. But this place was like really close to us, so it was like easy to get to. And we walk in and it's this like, I want to say 50-year-old French man who ran the place. He's like, oh, nope, we're not doing. Ben, we are not doing the French accent. I'm so sorry to everyone who just heard me say hon, hon, hon. That, anyways, it was a French man who owned this motorcycle place. And we're like, okay. And we looked it up on like Yelp and TripAdvisor and it seemed okay. There was like a few one-star reviews, but sometimes when I go to a website, I just don't feel like reading at all. So I just skip it. Anyways, we walk in. He was fairly nice. He kind of had this impression that we knew what we were doing. So he was just very fast with the rental. He like gave us this contract and was like, okay, we're not doing the, oh my God, we're not doing the accent. He's like, okay, sign these papers and you can rent it. You want it for a week? You got it for a week. So he takes our driver's licenses. I give him mine. I did give him my driver's license and he like writes down all our information, takes our names. I'm like, okay, alrighty. The second warning leading to my potential death was when we got on these motorcycles and I immediately didn't know what anything did. It was very much like when you're riding a bike for the first time, you're like, what do these gears do? What does turning this do? I had no clue what anything did. And he rented it to us, assuming we were like pros at this. I thought it like came with like a little training lesson or like training wheels or something. No, it was just ours. And immediately I was like, y'all, this is not it. I really don't want to do this, like to my friends that I came with. And they're like, they basically like guilt trip me into riding the motorcycle. Cause like realistically, what else would I do? They would all be zooming around, going to all these fun places. And I would just probably be stuck back at the Airbnb. So like peer pressure, it kind of works, but I really wish it didn't work on me because of what you're about to hear. So right off the bat, I just hit the gas, and we're in this parking lot, and there's like a road in front of us. I go straight into the road. Now, you all know how roads work. The traffic is going in one direction. That's what makes you beautiful. No, we're not saying that. Anyways, the traffic goes in one direction. I flew into that traffic going the opposite direction, like literally flew over the sidewalk into the road because I just gassed it right off the bat, like literally almost did a wheelie. And I'm like, and I like managed to stop on the other side of the road in the ditch. I'm like, oh my God, I like bit off more than I can chew. I don't know what I'm doing. This is like a terrible idea. Like, mama, like it's not, this is not it. And all my friends are like, okay, you just like need to like figure it out. Like it can't be that hard. And like deep down, I was like, it's that hard. It is that hard. But then I started to think about like all the like Australian grandmas riding around on their little motorcycles, having a jolly old time. Like though, like it was nothing to them. So I'm like, okay, like I can do it. I can do it. How difficult can it be? So we get in like kind of like a little formation. None of us, mind you, had ridden motorcycles ever before. We get in our little formation and we start going down like these easy, not too busy roads. And we're doing okay. We're honestly doing okay. It's kind of like literally just like a bicycle. Oh my God. I'm literally remembering how bad this was. It gets worse. Like, just as the story progresses, it just finds ways to get worse. I literally don't know how I'm still alive. Anyways, we're in our little formation, and for about 10 minutes of riding these things, I was like, we're gonna be okay. This trip is gonna be amazing. I really figured it out. I really figured out how to ride a motorcycle in less than 10 minutes. The intersections in Bali do not have lights. Some streets, it's just a constant flow of traffic and you have to worm yourself in to get through. And also in Bali, they drive on the other side of the road. You know, here in North America, you drive on the right side of the road and people pass you on the left side. It is reversed there. That means that every single thing in your brain that tells you how to drive, you have to flip it. And it's freaking hard. I was like struggling. Like we started making some turns and I'm like, oh, that is very questionable. I really don't like that. But we eventually got to this one intersection. We get to this one intersection and this is a busy road. I'm talking like a busy freaking road. This has like traffic going like probably like 30 miles per hour. It's like going both ways. And I'm like, ooh, I don't know about this. And not only that, we have to turn right, which is basically like, it's like a left turn in like North America. Like you have to like yield to traffic and find like an opening, a perfect opening in the traffic to worm yourself in so you don't get killed. So on these bikes, like you know when you're riding a bicycle, imagine you're riding a bicycle right now, you've got your hands on both of the like the handlebars. I guess it's just one handlebar. You've got both your hands on the one handlebar, the singular handlebar, and to turn, you have to like push it and like balance your weight. When you were on a motorcycle, there is like inertia or something about physics that I never like learned because I dropped out of physics, but it is almost impossible to turn or steer when you were going freaking fast. Now, we get to this intersection and my friends, they're like also kind of like worried. They're like, how do we like get through this traffic? Like it's not stopping. There's no break. It was like rush hour Bali time. Like what the heck do we do? And they managed to get through. I literally blink and they're gone. I'm like, that's really good. I am now alone on a motorcycle that I don't know how to ride in the middle of Bali, Indonesia. I don't speak the language. I am terrified. So they're gone. I'm like, I have to catch up to them. Like, I can't lose my friends. I didn't have a SIM or I couldn't text because I didn't have a cell phone plan there. So I like wouldn't be able to contact them. Like I had to catch up with them. I literally had to. So I'm waiting for my moment. There's cars passing. I'm like, I just have to go for it. Like there'd be like tiny moments where I'm like, I think I can make it. And then like, I definitely could make it. And then I just, I just go for it. I pull the gas thing as hard as I can. And once again, it's almost like a wheelie. I forget that you just go. You literally just go when you pull that gas. My wheel goes up and I literally can't even control it because you steer the front wheel only. Like, you can't turn it, especially when the front wheel is in the air. And I'm... When something like this happens, it happens in slow motion. It is insane. You literally, like, it feels like it's an hour-long thing, and then it's, like, 5 seconds. I'm sorry. It's literally... Oh, my God. Okay. Let's take a break. I need to recollect myself. Oh, my God. Okay.
This podcast is sponsored by Ramp. Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money so you can make more. Most corporate credit cards offer points as incentives, but those points amount to less than their worth in real cash value. Ramp's business cards offer you cash back, real money in your pocket. Plus, you control who spends what with each vendor. And Ramp software collects and verifies receipts automatically, which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. And now get $250 when you join Ramp for free. Just go to ramp.com/easy. Ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy.
Cards issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members of FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, welcome back. So, I am going on a wheelie towards a van that is driving in the opposite direction that I am going. It is coming head on towards me. And I can't steer out of the way because it's like going so fast. And I'm also a weak little spaghetti noodle, so I can't exactly turn it myself. And what happens? I slam into the front of this van. I couldn't feel it because there's so much adrenaline that pumps through you when you get in an accident like that. So there's just adrenaline pumping. I fly off the motorcycle and my body hits the front of the van and I like hit the ground. And when you have all that adrenaline, you're like, like, what just happened? I get up and I just start screaming. I'm literally like shrieking. Like, I had no other clue what to do. I was like, like freaking out. And I run out of the traffic because this was in the middle of an intersection. There were still cars coming. Like, mind you, some of them had stopped, but a lot of lanes were still going. And I'm like, for the people not watching on the YouTube video or for the people listening, that's me hitting my hand against my mouth because it was just so traumatic. And I get to the side of the road and I'm just screaming. And I look up. First of all, I look at myself and I see that I'm bleeding. My arm was scraped up. My knees were scraped up and they were bleeding. I'm like, that's good. But I couldn't feel it, which made me even more scared. So I started screaming even more. And then I look up at the accident that I had just caused. There was three parts to it. One, the van was completely totaled. The whole front of it, the hood was like popped off from literally my body hitting it. Like crushed up metal. Like think like a can and it's like crunched. The second part of this accident was the motorcycle. The whole front wheel, all the things attached to it were like broken. There's pieces of plastic and metal on the ground. It was like twisted. Like if you took a motorcycle and you were like a big old big boy giant and you just grabbed it and twisted it. That's what the motorcycle looked like. And then the third part is the man who is driving the van gets out and he's walking towards me screaming in the native language of Indonesia. And in this moment, I've never felt more like scared, helpless, terrified. It's truly something scary to be that much like in over your head. That's me choking on the COVID-19 in my throat. It to be that like over in over your head is like just so scary. I was in a completely different country. Who knows what could happen? Oh, I know what could happen because I'm telling the story. Anyways, let's get on with it. This guy's like coming towards me and he's yelling at me. And out of the blue, I know this sounds like a fun little Netflix original plot twist. Out of the blue is the man and his daughter who rented me the motorcycle. They just happened to be driving by when this happened and they saw me literally get in the car accident on their bike that they rented to me. And I'm like, oh my God, like to see a familiar face during all of that was like literally like seeing a guardian angel. And I go, they come over to me while this guy's screaming at me, and they kind of talk to the guy in the language of Indonesia, which I really need to figure out. Is it just Indonesian? I think it might just be Indonesian, but we're going to say the language of Indonesia just in case it's not. Anyways. So the guy who rented it to me starts talking to the guy that I just totaled his vehicle, and they're like, okay, like, this guy is very mad. Like, you definitely just destroyed his vehicle. You're going to have to like, fix this. And mind you, when I went on this trip, it was kind of at the start of my social media career. It was this weird time between me quitting my job and dropping out and like now, and I had no money. I had maybe $100 in my bank account when I flew into the country, which is definitely something you should never do. If you ever travel, please make sure you have money. And also please make sure you also have like an emergency credit card. Because, like, bruh, I was in over my head. So they're like, you need to fix this. Like, you're going to have to go with this guy and fix his van. And I'm like, oh, I don't know if I want to do that. But I am deathly scared of confrontation. So I was just willing to do whatever it would take for, like, to get this man to stop screaming at me. So let this be a cautionary tale of what you absolutely should never do in any situation like this. I got in this man's van that I literally just ruined his vehicle. I got in his van and let him just drive me away to the repair shop. It's a miracle that I wasn't killed there. He literally could have just stabbed me up, cooked me up, and like that would have been that. Like, I actually don't know why I did that. That's maybe one of the stupidest things I've ever done in my life. But he wasn't a serial killer, so he drove me to the repair shop. He didn't speak any English, so I was literally just sitting there in silence, like bawling in the passenger seat. Good Lord, my brain is not working. Anyways, we get to the repair shop, and it was like $500 to fix his car. I was surprised they just like quoted me right away. It was surprisingly easy to just like get it all fixed. They were like, okay, like, come over here, like, we'll charge you, and then, like, you can, like, go about your day, and you can deal with the motorcycle. So, I pay for it, and I already know my bank account's in the red. It was a miracle that the transaction got approved. Like, 1 minute, my credit card's being used at, like, a McDonald's in freaking Alberta, Canada, and the next thing, it's paying for a whole vehicle replacement in Bali, Indonesia. Like, I'm so amazed that my credit card really pulled through for me. But after that, the guy who rented me the motorcycle, he actually followed the van behind me, which I didn't know, which I'm really thankful for, because like, And he's like, okay, well, like, how are you? Like, are you okay? And I was like bleeding, and I couldn't really tell because I still couldn't feel anything. And I'm like, I don't know. Probably broke my neck, probably broke my back, whatever. But he was like, okay, now about the bike, you're gonna have to pay for it. And I'm like, wait a second, because when I rented the bike, I was very sure, I was very clear that this bike was insured. When I got the contract signing over the bike to me, I made sure that this bike was insured for any accidents. It was on the freaking window saying our bikes are insured at this rental place. Okay, it's not like I just got it from some random man with a bike. No, this was like a business where they insure their bikes. That is what you do in a rental place. But this guy somehow thought that I had to pay for the bike. And this was his reasoning. I'll explain why he thought this way. I thought my mom just texted me. That was not my mom. Anyways, he said that I did not have an international driver's license, but he never asked me for one, and I gave him my driver's license when I rented it. Mind you, it's just an Alberta's driver's license. It's not an international driver's license, but I didn't even know that those existed. I did not know that that was a thing. He never told me that that was a thing. There was no sign saying that we needed an international driver's license. It wasn't even in that contract. This was something he pulled out of his big fat French butt. Okay? So, I'm like, I don't know what that is. Like, you said your bike was insured. And he's like, no, you're confused. You're confused. You have to pay for this. Like, you're not insured. And I'm like, hold on. And I start texting my friends. Mom, I swear to God. Anyways, I text my friends, and I know I said I didn't have a plan before, but what I did was I just like started like data roaming, where like if you're in a different country, you can just turn your phone off airplane mode and it'll like connect to like the nearest cell tower. It's freaking expensive. It was like $20 for one phone call, but like kind of an emergency. So I called my friends, told them where I was. They came in like 10 minutes and we got home. They like drove me home. I rode on the back of my friend's scooter. And he was like the rental guy was like, call me tomorrow. We'll get this figured out. So I get back. I am shooken up. It's starting to set in. Like, we're literally all just sitting around and they're like asking me, they're like, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, I'm okay. And then I just start crying. I just start bawling. And I could not stop crying for hours. It was so stressful. And so I'm like, and on top of that, I didn't know how to pay for it. I was already like in debt. I didn't want to ask. Oh my God. I didn't want to ask my mom or my friends for money because they quoted me for like literally thousands of dollars. I can't remember the amount, but it was nothing I could pay for at all. Like, it was bad. So I woke up the next morning and I reread the contract. I found the part where it said all our bikes are insured, and I was feeling really confident, which was really surprising because that kind of just shattered my entire ego. It really takes getting hit by a van and flying into the air to like really shatter your ego. But I walked my foreign butt down to that rental office, and the French guy wasn't there. He had this assistant there. But I walked in and I showed them the contract and I told this girl, I'm not paying. I am not paying for the bike. I'm really sorry I crashed it. I'm really sorry, but also you shouldn't have rented it to me if I needed a freaking international driver's license, okay? And she's like, she didn't really speak English that well, but she calls the French guy, and I'm like, oh, I don't want to talk to him. We were just vibing. What about just us? How about we just talk? And so he arrives like 15 minutes later, and he is livid. He starts calling me. He's like, you effing foreigner, you stupid effing American. I should have never trusted you. I'm never gonna rent to an effing American again. I'm like, first of all, like, literally my driver's license, where does it say America? Also, if my mom texts me one more time, I will literally emancipate myself even though I'm 21 years old. Anyways, he is so mad. He's literally freaking out. And I'm like, all that confidence I had, like, storming in there, dissolved away. And he threatens to call the police on me. And not just threatens, he called the police on me. This, like I said, this story just goes from bad to worse, literally from bad to worse. And I'm like, I'm not dealing with this. It was like the last day when I finally like got all this sorted. I don't know why I thought this happened the day after the accident. This actually happened the last day. Guys, my brain is not the best. There will be a lot of stories like this where my brain just shuts down. Anyways, it was like either the second last day or the last day when I like stormed in there and like just really said that I was in pain. Anyways, so I like left because he was still screaming at me, and I just like went back to the villa, and he told me he called the police on me. He said the police are coming, but he didn't have my address, so I wasn't that scared, but I got out of there very fast. I'm like, I'm not waiting around to see what happens. So I get back and I'm like, so y'all, I'm not paying, but also I might go to Indonesian prison. So I managed to leave the country. I don't know how I did it. Like, I was so scared. I was completely sure that I would get to the airport and there would be like police waiting for me or something. I was actually terrified. Like, this man was so scary. And like guys, like I felt bad. I truly did feel bad because like I ruined one of his bikes. I didn't mean to, but I did. But I only rented it because it was insured. I never would have rented it if it wasn't. So literally he can stick a baguette up his big butt. Anyways, A few weeks later, I'm back in Canada. I'm safe. I fully recovered from the thing. Like, I only hurt my back and scraped up my arm and my knees, thankfully. But I start getting these DMs from the owner's daughter. And this girl would DM me every single week on Instagram being like, "You absolute scum of the earth, you dirty American." I'm like, oh my God, once again, I'm not even American. I'm like, get it together. At least get your facts straight. And she was so mad all the time, like literally leaving me the meanest DMs. And I eventually blocked her. And that was that. But y'all, I actually don't know how I escaped that. Like, that was like a situation where I truly just did not think I was going to be able to come back home. I was like crying every single day. Like, that police just gave me PTSD. I don't know if you can hear that or not, but I made it home and I don't think I'm ever going to go back to Indonesia again. It's my fault, but I'm like, I don't think I can do it. I don't think I can do it. It was beautiful, beautiful place. Everyone was lovely there, aside from literally that French man and his daughter. They can literally suck my toe. Anyways, thank you so much for listening to the very first episode of I Almost Died. I have some crazy stories coming to you weekly, and it's going to be amazing. And also, be sure to tweet me how you almost died with the hashtag I Almost Died Podcast. Tweet me your stories, and I will read them at the start of each episode. I really want to hear your guys' stories. And also, please rate this podcast 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. And if you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or YouTube where you're watching it, please subscribe. It helps a ton. And also, please subscribe to the YouTube channel regardless. We'll see if we can get to... We'll see. Oh my God, imagine if we get like another YouTube plaque for the podcast channel. That'd be crazy. Anyways, thank you to my producer, Daniel, as well as Annabelle, Andrew, Kevin, and Amy for helping me get this started. I'm so thankful. Anyways, I will see you next week. Thank you so much for listening. And as always, the end of the week, it's chill.
'Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with 2 young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the Star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with 2 young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the Star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.